Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are in the middle of our week here talking about Philippians chapter 2. And over the last couple days, we have been really diving into some things that are so convicting, some things that are so convicting about our relationship to others. And ultimately, the conviction, friends, and the conviction for me that I keep being brought to over and over and over again is that Christ is living in me. Through my baptism, through my relationship with Christ, I have a new nature and I'm being brought more and more and more into that new nature, into that place. And as I'm changing and I'm growing, my motives are being purified. I'm seeing other people differently. I'm seeing myself differently. And this is what Christ in our relationship with him, friends, wants to open us up to. A new aspect, a new way of growth that's not just measured by, oh, how are my finances growing? How am I reaching my goals? All these different things. But becoming more and more like the person of Christ. And I want to encourage you to go and listen over these last couple days. The first day we talked about how for Paul, the core is really unity. The core is being one with one another and one with Christ. And as we love each other with the love of Christ, because the goal isn't being uniform. The goal isn't being exactly the same. The goal is loving each other with the love of Christ. And as we do that, we become one. And so how do we do that? We talked about that yesterday. And that first thing was do nothing from selfishness or conceit. And on the off the cuff, you're like, okay, yeah, don't be selfish. But then as I examine my life, there's so many ways that I'm selfish. There's so many ways that I'm looking out for myself and I'm doing things out of a selfish ambition or a selfish place of wanting to be seen in a different way. And Christ convicts me of, I need to be purified. I need to be purified of that. And sometimes, friends, we don't allow the Spirit to convict us in these ways because the minute we begin to feel conviction, the minute we begin to feel that conviction, we feel it as shame or condemnation of like, oh, well, I'm not loving my neighbor well. It's another thing I'm not doing. Just pile it on. I did do that out of selfish conceit. And instead of letting the gentleness of the Holy Spirit convict us, we put up a protection wall and we run away. And sometimes, yes, Jesus is gentle. He's tender. He's all these different things. But you know when you first wake up in the morning and someone turns on the lights, or if it's like the middle of the night and it's the dark, your eyes at first are like, oh my gosh, it's so bright. Like, who turned that on? It doesn't feel good. And that's the thing, as we grow in relationship with the Lord, there's going to be places of our hearts where he begins to shine the light and we're like, ah, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't feel good. But if we run away from it, we won't grow in the character of Christ and then our communities won't grow. And ultimately, each of us, as we grow individually, our communities are growing. And so let's go ahead and read this. We're going to keep going on. Paul's going to continue to tell us how we love each other with the love of Christ, how we love each other with the same mind. So let's go ahead and pray and let's dive into the scriptures. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, you are the light of the world. You're the light that shines in the darkness. You're the light that shines in our hearts. And as you shine in our hearts, we become truly who we're meant to be. As we respond to the light, as we let the light purify us, we become holy. We become like you. And so, Lord, I pray today as we read that you would shine your light in our hearts, that as we see you, as we look at you held up in this word, that your light would shine forth and it would pierce us, it would purify us, and it would make us exalt you and make us look more like you. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, I'm going to start in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind amongst yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, and being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at Jesus' name every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Such a beautiful set of verses, and I'm so excited to get into those verses about Jesus. But where we pick up, he says, but in humility, count others better than yourself. So we know humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. And he says this, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but to the interests of others. This is so, so important. And I think this is so important in the world right now, friends, because I think we're in a time where there's all of this, like, I've been reflecting on this a lot and in my own life too, of like, I think we're in a time, even which we're seeing this in younger generations, where there's so much pop psychology. Like, there's so much like psychological terms being thrown around. It's like, well, this, you know, you see one external behavior from this person, and you're like, well, they're a narcissist, or like, we should go no contact with this person, or all of these different things. And one of those things that I think is being thrown around so much in the culture today is the term boundaries. Of just like, okay, well, I have to have my boundaries. And here's the thing, like, it's really good to have boundaries, and boundaries are for when our sense of self and when we're losing ourselves, sacrificing ourselves for somebody else, like when our sense of self begins to bleed into what we're doing for others and how others are perceiving us, or when we're actually being very, very harmed by a relationship and we need to set a boundary. But so much of what you see in the culture today is like, oh, well, I was feeling kind of tired, and so I just wanted to lay in my bed and watch Netflix, so I skipped my best friend's birthday party. And so, yeah, that's just like my boundary. I just needed to set a boundary there because, like, yes, she's upset or he's upset, but like, I just need a boundary because I needed to rest. And we've started putting up quote unquote boundaries, and we say it's okay because psychology, as excuses not to love people. And here's the reality, friends, love is inconvenient. Biblical love is inconvenient. And I saw this thing that was so beautiful. It says so many people complain about not having a village, but they're not willing to be villagers. And I think what Paul is telling us is saying, learn how to be a villager. Part of being a follower of Jesus is, before you look out for the interests of yourself, look out for the interests of others. This is why family life is so hard, but why it's so sanctifying. This is why those who are in religious life, those who are in communal life, it's so hard, but it's so sanctifying. And this is what we miss out on when we live in an individualized society where it's like, everything is my own time. Everything is how I want it to be, all of this kind of stuff. And most of my life is my own interests. Family life is so sanctifying. Being parents, for example, is so sanctifying because what do you have to do in order for your child to survive? You have to put the interests of your child before your own interests. And Paul is saying we're meant to apply that to the members of our Christian community. When situations of need arise, it's not convenient times. People don't have disasters or things that happen to them at times that are convenient for us. One really practical thing, taking people to the airport is not convenient. I have a friend that always takes me to the airport. It's not convenient for her, but it's a way that she loves me. And so I think there's this way in which Paul's saying, look to the interests of others. Like, there's this way of like looking, of even that image of look, lift your eyes. Remember we talked about yesterday being preoccupied with ourselves. So many of us, and so often for me, when I walk into a social setting, when I walk into my family, all this kind of stuff, I'm looking at me. How do I feel? What do I need? What do I want? Am I tired? Am I da 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 da? Like all of this stuff, me. And I'm looking, it's like sometimes we're physically looking inside of us. And he's saying, look. Go find the interests of others. What are the needs of others? What are the desires of others? What are the wants of others? And how can you practice putting those before your own? You know, this year at Christmas, I have one brother who lives out of town, and we alternate holidays and all this kind of stuff. And we've had this thing in our family that almost every time we all get together for Christmas, it's been like 5 years in a row of everybody getting together for Christmas and everybody getting so sick. Like, I'm not talking about having a cough. I'm talking about influenza A, influenza B, stomach flu. I have 12 nieces and nephews. They don't all live in the same place and they love to see each other. So they've been banking on this Christmas trip. They've been so excited. My brother's family comes to town. My sister's family gets the flu. One of my nieces has pneumonia, all this kind of stuff. People are going down like flies, and the kids aren't getting to see each other. And it was just honestly so disappointing. It was like this whole 5 days over Christmas, and it was so disappointing. It was so hard. People were tired. And I've, you know, my sister, all her kids were sick. And it's like, come on. And I felt so inspired by her in the midst of the disappointment, because she was sending me that she was praying the Litany of Trust every day. And she was saying to me, you know, as her and her husband were talking, okay, there must be something that the Lord has for us on the other side of this. And it was this such inspiring thing and this example, because why am I saying this? Because it's so easy. And it was so easy for me throughout those 5 days and afterwards to be like, well, I wanted to do this for Christmas and I wanted to have all these plans and like my plans got ruined too. And like, I'm so frustrated and I'm so disappointed and just look at myself. And every time I felt super discouraged and bad, I looked at myself. And every time I actually felt better was when I was looking out to others of, oh, let's go play basketball. Let's make cookies. Let's do this, of trying to make the situation better. And it was ironic because we went to Christmas Mass in Christmas Eve. And I was in such a bad mood because I felt like everybody was in a bad mood, you know, and it's just like you're looking at your I was looking at myself. I was truly looking at myself and, you know, I was like venting to my sister and she was just being so inspiring and like trusting of the Lord. But we get to Mass and there's no parking. So the car I'm driving, I had to drop off at the door and I had to park over a half a mile away. So I'm like parking and I'm trudging to the church. And I'm like, oh, now I have to walk and all this kind of stuff. But by the time I had left the church, I went to Mass and then I left to go walk another half mile to pick up the car. And honestly, dropping everybody off and doing that walk because they didn't want to have to walk because they didn't feel very good and I didn't want to make the kids walk and all this kind of stuff. And so while I was so annoyed, quote unquote, that I had to drop people off and park really far away, God gave me that inconvenience to give me the opportunity to serve them. And as I did it and as I was walking back that half mile, actually my mood began to change. And the discouragement that I felt in my heart began to lift because I was looking at the interests of others. I was looking for how I could help. I was looking for how I could make things easier. And I wasn't so angry and frustrated about what I wasn't getting. And friends, I think there's this place that the Lord is inviting you in this new year to a deeper place of security with Him to say, He has all your needs provided for, that you can look to the interests of others. You can. You can look out for other people because He has your interests taken care of. You don't need to be afraid that you will be left behind. And so I think a good practice to do is even throughout the rest of this day, or maybe if you're listening to this at night, tomorrow, do it. When you find yourself overcome with just looking at yourself, say, look, just tell yourself, look, that one word, look, and it lifts up your eyes. Say, look. And you know that means look for the interests of somebody else. Look, what can I do for somebody else? Look, how can I help somebody else? Look. Look to the interests of others. And this is a practical way that we can love and we can remain united. So friends, I want to encourage you to do that practice over the next 24 hours and join us again tomorrow as we begin to talk about the humility that Christ shows us through His incarnation. God bless you. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.